In Psalm 90, we see Christ, God, being a delightful dwelling place. I'd like for us to simply be reminded of three things this afternoon about God, our wonderful dwelling place. We have here, first of all, a call to worship our eternal God. We'll see that in verse 1 and 2. And then there's a focus on the importance of recognizing our desperate need. We'll see that in verses 3 through 11. And then finally, a prayer that all of us need to make, which is a prayer for divine help. And we'll see that in verses 12 through 17. And right before we begin, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can once again open up to this wonderful psalm. By your grace, we pray that your Spirit would illumine our minds to the Word and that Christ would be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. Moses writes in Psalm 90, verse 1 and verse 2, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in old generations. Before the mountains were born or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. What is this? This is a call to worship our eternal God. You say, why? Because of two reasons. We'll actually see the first one in verse 2. Because He's our Creator. Look at verse 2, please. It says, before the mountains were born, or that is, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before anything existed, God was God. If I could put it this way, in eternity past, our God was God. In eternity future, our God will still be God. There is only one God, the eternal God, Jehovah, if you will. This is the God that we worship today. He's a creator, but He's more than a creator, because He's certainly the creator of all people, but we know Him in a special way. You say, how? Because He's our Savior. And we see that in verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. That's certainly not true of all people, because all people, in a sense, don't dwell in God. All people don't have a personal relationship with God. You say, how can a person have a personal relationship with God? By putting faith in Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might be thinking, wait a second, this is a very old psalm. In fact, many believe this is the oldest of all psalms, so it was written long before Jesus Christ came. How in the world could you have faith in a Christ who didn't come? Well, the Old Testament believers were saved the same way that New Testament believers are. They look forward to a Messiah. We look backwards to a Messiah. Certainly, we're blessed with more information. Some of the things that they saw somewhat in shadows, we see now very clearly. But there's only one way to be forgiven of sin, and that's to put faith in a Messiah. We know His name. His name is Jesus Christ. And because of Him, He is our dwelling place. And we come together this afternoon to worship this wonderful God who is our eternal dwelling place. And praise God that He is, because we need a dwelling place. And that's the second thing I'd like us to see this afternoon. Number one, we've come to worship our eternal God. Number two, we need to recognize our desperate need. You say, what do you mean, our desperate need? Well, let's begin at verse 3. Where Moses here writes in verse 3, you, God, turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or is a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Towards evening it fades and withers away. You say, what is that about? It's about how frail we are. At the end of that little portion we just looked at, verse 6, what are we like? 5 and 6, we're like grass. Notice Moses doesn't say we're like trees. We're not like oak trees that grow consistently and strong and seem to last for a very long time. We're like grass. You know what grass is like. It comes up green. It doesn't rain for a while. The hot sun comes out and it's gone. That's us. Even this weekend, I've been reminded of how quickly life goes by as I've run into some of my former students. And what's interesting is my former students look so old. and they're married and they have children, and I look at them and they say, Dr. Mays, like, I had you. And I'm thinking, I don't say this, but I'm thinking, how could you have had me? You look too old. And then I look in the mirror and I say, okay, now I know why. Because I'm not young anymore. And life goes by quickly. We are frail people. Look at verse 3. Moses says, you turn man back into dust. God makes us from dust. And before we know it, it's time for a funeral again. I have a few uncles that are right on the edge of death's door. And both of these uncles have been special to me in the past. They were the guys that would come occasionally and throw a ball with me when I was young and take an interest in me. And I can remember playing catch with a baseball or a football in the yard. And now one, his Alzheimer's is so bad that he doesn't even recognize his wife most of the time. How frail we are. We need a dwelling place. But we are more than frail, because in verse 7 and 8 we'll see that we're also sinful. Now we know that already, but here's a reminder. In Psalm 90 verse 7, Moses writes, "For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." We are not only frail as human beings, we are sinful. And the God who sees all knows every sin that I commit. The sins that I commit by way of commission, that is, I do things that fail Him. The sins I commit, in a sense, by way of omission, that God wants me to do things that would praise Him, and I don't because of my selfishness. Every single sin that you have ever committed, God knows. And I know sometimes you might think, well, but Greg, it's under the blood. That's true. So God forgets it all. That's not true. Because an omniscient God forgets nothing. And yes, by God's grace, we can be set free from sin. And He forgives us, and He no longer holds it to our account. But the fact is, we are still very sinful people who need a dwelling place. We are frail. We saw that in 3 through 6. We are sinful. We saw that in 7 through 8. In verse 9 through 11, we're reminded of how transient we are. Look at verse 9, please. "For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. For the days of our life, they contain 70 years. Or, if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away." Now, if you're in high school or maybe even in college, I know this doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but if you're already maybe middle-aged in that place where I'm at and older, you understand how well this does make sense. That life goes by so quickly. And the older we get, the more labor and sorrow we experience as our bodies fail, as things happen that we're just not used to happening. As things we used to be able to do with great vigor, we now find burdensome to do. In fact, we do less and hurt more. And we find that we are transient. We're only in this world for what, 70? If at best, maybe 80 years. And some of you have parents, perhaps, that are in those higher years, even in their 80s. In one sense, a great blessing that God still gives life, and yet frequently the ailments that come with that life are not things that we desire. We are so frail. We are so sinful. We are so transient. We need a dwelling place. We are in great need of a dwelling place. Well, in verse 3, all the way through 11, we see how desperate we need this dwelling place. Finally, in verses 12 through 17, what do we see? We see our need to pray. To pray for divine help in response to the desperate need that we find ourselves having. Verse 12, Moses says, "So teach us," speaking to God, "so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." What a great prayer for us to pray. Lord, life is going by so quickly. Help me to make it count. I'm not going to live forever. I'm not invincible. I realize that I'm only here for so many more days, and that's all I have. And I want you to be pleased with them. I want to present to you a heart of wisdom. Lord, give me that kind of ability. Not to get so caught up with the stuff of life that I forget to serve you. And pretty soon, before I know it, I'm too old to serve you. And pretty soon, as I fly away, I realize I no longer in this world have a chance to serve you. What a great prayer, Lord. Help us to number our days. Verse 13, we also should pray that God would encourage us to look to Him. Verse 13, do we turn, O Lord? How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Here is Moses looking to God. Where do we look in light of our frailty, in light of our sinfulness? We look to God. We number our days. And we look to God as we delight in His presence. We see that in verse 14 and 15. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with Your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days You have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. The only thing that truly satisfies is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There are so many things we have in this world that we're thankful for. We're thankful for our spouses, I trust. We're thankful for our children. We're thankful for a church family. We're thankful for the finances to buy food and enjoy life. We're thankful for homes. Many of us have heat and air conditioning. We're thankful for the hobbies we engage in, sports or what have you. Educational pursuits, vocational advancement, all wonderful gifts of God. None of them can truly satisfy the heart of a man. You've heard this. Inside every human heart is a God-shaped vacuum. And the only thing that can fill a God-shaped vacuum is the God who designed us with that in mind. When we have fellowship with God, we find satisfaction. Everything else is gravy. When we don't have fellowship with God, life is not good. Verse 14, oh, satisfy us in the morning with Your loving kindness, not with stuff. Nothing wrong with stuff. But satisfy us, Lord, with Your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad. He's the only one who can really do that. Now, we can numb ourselves to the sadness we feel. And there's 101 ways to numb yourself to the pain of not knowing God. And for some people, it's illicit drugs. And you know people like that. For some people, it's prescription drugs that they continue to use. For some people, it is a hobby that becomes their God and they live to hunt or they live to fish. And yes, I'll include it. They live to ride motorcycles. And they give themselves to that so that they can somehow ignore that little voice inside in the back of their minds that says something's still not right. But when we come to God and we find ourselves satisfied with Jesus Christ, then we find out that everything is fine and we delight in His presence, realizing that He is our dwelling place and that in Him we find complete satisfaction. You say, then, Greg, what do we do in the short period of time that we're here? Well, verse 16 and 17, let Your work appear to Your servants and Your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. We come to our God and we pray for help. What is help? We call it grace. Grace for what? To confirm the work of our hands so that what we're doing matters. Wouldn't it be a blessing one day, maybe you've left town for whatever reason, maybe you're in failing health, and maybe you're not able to worship regularly at Trinity, and you would drive down Suber Road, and you would see there is still a group of people here proclaiming Christ and worshiping together. That would matter for eternity. Can I remind those of you that are teaching truth trackers, that are teaching Sunday school classes, especially the children, that there may well be a day where you have flown away, your frail body has failed you, and you are with Christ. And yet maybe one of those young children will be the next Sunday school teacher. Maybe one of those young children will be at this desk preaching Christ. Maybe another one will be over here leading singing. Maybe another one of those children will be taking the offering, serving in the fellowship committee, working in vacation Bible school. And even when you're gone, that the work that you have done to the glory of God continues. That's what we need to pray. Lord, confirm for us the work of our hands. Lord, help us to do things that matter for eternity. By your grace, it could be so. Because you're our dwelling place. We've come this afternoon to worship our eternal God. He's our dwelling place. We recognize that we have a desperate need because we're frail, we're sinful, and we're transient. And so we pray to our God for help, that He would help us to number our days, to look to Him, to delight in His presence, and that by His grace, He would establish our works. We need God to be our dwelling place. And by His grace, if we continue to trust in Him, this ministry will continue to flourish. And as we would take our eyes off of Him, then this ministry will falter. But of course, that's true personally in our lives as well. As long as we continue to be cognizant of the theme that we need Him, that we continue to cry out to Him, then He will continue to bless. But when we take our eyes off of Him and we no longer consider Him our dwelling place, then life will get very hard indeed. Whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need You. I need You to be my dwelling place. Let's pray. Father, we praise Your wonderful name this afternoon because You are a faithful God. You are an eternal Creator, and You are a wonderful and gracious Savior. Father, we praise You for who You are and what You have done and continue to do. We come to You, Father, as needy people, and we openly confess that our need is great. Father, thank You that You welcome us to come. And we come in prayer, even this afternoon, that You would give us the grace to number our days, to look to You for help, to find complete delight and satisfaction in Your presence. And Lord, by Your grace, we pray that You would establish the works of our hands. Father, we need You. And we pray by Your grace we would always, always, always be aware of how much that is true. We thank You for being good to us, Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.